Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 73 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's a legacy event that needs to stay alive, and you know, it takes partnerships to do that.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center has been honored by a state program.
Pike County officials are considering a landfill expansion.
Boyd County will put $2.1 million into the jail and energy efficiency upgrades.
A federal judge refused to block subpoenas issued by Kentucky's governor.
Some Kentucky residents say they're not happy with a new campaign gimmick from Mitch McConnell.
In sports, Moorhead State baseball is facing off with Tennessee Tech this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
A 20% chance of rain tonight with lows around 52 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's Kentucky Folk Arts Center recently won the Main Street Partner Award from the Kentucky Main Street Program. The KFAC won the award for hosting Moorhead's annual Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, an event that provides much-needed financial support to both the Arts Center and downtown businesses. Tony Pence is the director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. He says the award is well-deserved as the Arts Center has been a staple in the community for decades.
You know, the Folk Arts Center for a long, long time has been, you know, a centerpiece of our tourism. You know, that was one of the, we have a sign on the interstate that, you know, what, 8,000-10,000 people a year get off the interstate, come downtown to see that. You know, it's always been a keystone in the downtown Moorhead makeup things to come and see.
The KFAC houses a permanent collection of nearly 1,400 pieces of self-taught art and is the only art museum in eastern Kentucky.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will host presentations this month at the Rowan County Library. NAMI will present guest speaker Rebecca Montgomery on May 14th, and we'll show the documentary God Knows Where I Am on May 28th. Carol Muriello, president of NAMI, says she hopes to open the door for discussion on mental illness.
We try to get people from the community, whether people involved in mental health and whether they're therapists or doctors or some other kind of professional in that mental health field to come and speak or something that relates to mental health.
The events are free and open to the public. The guest speaker presentation will start at 6 p.m. on May 14th.
A Floyd County city approved an annexation proposal in April that affects 600 acres of state highways surrounding that city. A 60-day window opened to the people of Martin for residents living in the proposed areas. They can sign a petition to force the proposal to the November ballot. However, there are no registered voters or landowners along the roadways, so no one can legally sign the petition. Floyd County Clerk Chris Waugh tells WYMT that large areas are hard to deal with when determining petition numbers.
It's extremely hard for a county clerk to be able to have to go into an area, especially if it became an extremely large area, to be able to have to go in there and find out who all these property owners are, who all the resident voters are who live in that area, in order to get to that number of 50%.
City officials say annexing the roadways alone does not benefit the city of Martin.
A GeoSyntech representative spoke to the Pike County Fiscal Court Tuesday, saying the county's landfill will run out of room by the year 2020. GeoSyntech engineer Thomas Ramsey laid out options for a potential landfill expansion, which he says is more feasible than taking on the expense of closing the landfill. Ramsey told the court that shutting down the landfill could be catastrophic.
Yeah, I'm trying to not be dramatic, but yes, it's major, many millions of dollars.
The court has not yet decided how the issue will be addressed, but Pike County officials say they are working to make sure they do what is best for Pike County.
A new resource guide has been designed to help Kentucky farmers navigate tough financial decisions. Farm commodity prices are projected to stay relatively low in 2019, which could force farmers to take out additional loans. Jonathan Shepard is a farm management specialist at the University of Kentucky. He says while there's a stigma associated with the word bankruptcy, for some farmers it may be a smart financial move.
nobody likes to talk about bankruptcy or debt reorganization, but that's a reality for some farmers, unfortunately. And depending on the specifics of an individual situation, they may, in fact, be able to file Chapter 12 bankruptcy and actually continue farming and do some debt reorganization.
A link to the financial guide is on the University of Kentucky's Department of Agricultural Economics website.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court unanimously approved the second reading of a proposed bond for the county jail. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
The $2.1 million bond was approved Tuesday. The bond will consist of a 25-year term and will carry a rate of about 3.5%. Boyd County Judge Executive Eric Cheney tells the Daily Independent he estimates around $850,000 to $1 million of the bond will be used for the jail, and that the remaining money will be used for energy efficiency upgrades to facilities in the county. At the previous meeting, Boyd County Jailer Bill Hensley listed several areas in the jail that need improvements, including roof and plumbing repairs, heating and air unit replacements, and the addition of mats for inmates, along with a body scanner. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m., For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A federal judge has refused to block subpoenas issued by Kentucky Governor Bevin's administration during an investigation into teacher sick outs that closed some schools. U.S. District Judge Denny Reeves on Thursday denied a temporary restraining order sought by Kentucky's Attorney General. The subpoenas seek the names of teachers who might have used sick days to attend state house rallies. It's part of an investigation by state labor officials who could penalize teachers for participating in protests during work stoppages. Reeves' ruling says most information sought in the subpoenas has been provided by labor officials. State education officials gave Bevin's administration the names of teachers possibly involved in sick outs after receiving a subpoena. Attorney General Andy Beshear calls the ruling disappointing, but says the case is far from over.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is facing backlash for his new Cocaine Mitch campaign. The T-shirts feature a faceless figure surrounded by white powder with, quote, cartel member on the back. Some Kentucky residents are asking McConnell's team to pull the merchandise. Tanya Meeks is a Central Kentucky mother who lost her son to an overdose. She tells WKYT, she was offended when she saw the shirts.
I felt like they're glorifying drug use. And to me, I was horrified. As a mother who has actually lost a child to drug use, I was absolutely appalled. I don't feel like he's part of the solution. He's actually becoming part of the problem.
Meeks has since started a change.org petition and has written a letter to Senator McConnell asking him to stop selling the shirts and donate the proceeds to addiction recovery services.
The NRA is suing the company that runs its troubled broadcast arm, NRA-TV, and an article in the New Yorker magazine paints a portrait of huge salaries and extravagant spending among NRA officers and vendors. Anna Maglosia with the Center for Responsive Politics says she can't judge the merits of the lawsuit, but she says the NRA's tax documents show that a different vendor, a fundraising company, made millions off its work for the gun rights group.
They kept over half of the money they had fundraised. They had made about $10 million and kept over $5 million of that. And so you are seeing a variety of different vendors potentially profiting off of the NRA.
The group continues to take a combative stance against longtime foes in the gun control movement and the political left. Its charitable status is under investigation in New York, and its board is expected to address leadership issues in next week.
Kentucky has been selected as one of only five states in the nation to receive an apprenticeship grant from the U.S. Department of Education. Perry County was chosen to be the pilot for the program. Hazard Community and Technical College President Dr. Jennifer Linden tells WYMT, through the K-Tech model, high school students in their freshman and sophomore years will pick a career path, then begin apprenticeships.
They may finish their certificate that they need to go to work while they're in high school, so when they finish their senior year, they'll just be able to go right into full-time employment. So another piece of this is they may work on their associate degree geared toward that particular career pathway once they graduate. So it's freshman through an associate degree in college.
The pilot county apprenticeships will be focusing on healthcare and IT.
The Kentucky Department of Education and the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services have announced a $9 million federal grant to increase awareness of mental health issues among Kentucky students. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
The grant will provide resources for three Kentucky school districts for the implementation of district-wide mental health policies and processes in Bullitt, Henderson, and Warren County public school districts. Kentucky is one of only four states receiving the award. According to LEX18, the partnership will work to enhance school mental health supports, provide youth mental health first aid training, implement trauma-informed practices, and generally improve social-emotional skills for all students in the districts. The project will serve more than 37,000 students annually for 5 years and impact 375 school administrators, more than 3,000 school staff, and thousands of parents and community members. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
A judge has ruled that a man accused of killing two African-American people at a Louisville grocery store is not mentally competent to stand trial on state charges, but that could change. The Courier-Journal reports that Judge Annie O'Connell ruled Gregory Bush is incompetent to stand trial on state charges including murder and wanton endangerment. He has pled not guilty. O'Connell said Bush is likely to regain competency. She scheduled a hearing for July 24th. A doctor testified yesterday that Bush likely would be found competent to stand trial in the future. Bush will receive medication at a psychiatric center. Bush has pled not guilty to federal hate crime charges in the October shootings of 69-year-old Maurice Stoller and 67-year-old Vicki Lee Jones at a Kroger in suburban Louisville.
A Pike County man indicted last year on first-degree sodomy charges of a child younger than 12 has pleaded guilty in Pike Circuit Court. 24-year-old Quentin Deshorn Reed Little of Pikeville was originally facing the possibility of life in prison after a Pike grand jury indicted him on first-degree sodomy charge, which is a Class A felony. Pike County Assistant Commonwealth's Attorney Melissa Goodman, however, accepted a plea from Little on a lesser charge of first-degree sexual abuse just days before his trial was scheduled to begin. She talks about that decision.
The victim's parents spent a lot of time in prayer and trying to decide, did they want to put their little child through the stress of having to go forward and tell her story to a room full of strangers. And so we reached a compromise that everybody could live with.
Little will be sentenced on June 26th and faces the possibility of 20 years in prison.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast, tonight a 20% chance of showers in the early morning, cloudy with lows around 53 degrees. On Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, mainly afternoon, cloudy with highs near 66. Saturday night, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible, cloudy with lows around 54, and on Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs near 67 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures in your region, in Lexington right now, it's 68 degrees, Mount Sterling 72, Inez 79, Grayson 76, Ashland 78, Maysville 63, Flemingsburg 65, and here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 73 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff gets an earful when he indulges in his favorite pastime, eavesdropping.
The other day, serendipity provided a chance for eavesdropping as I heard a group of students discussing free college, a plan being advanced by many of the candidates for president from you can guess which party. Free anything sounds good when you're broke, and many college students are broke by fees, by textbook and course material costs, by rising housing and food obligations, by inflation and fuel prices and deflation of the value of the dollar, and all of that on top of tuition costs that have risen hundreds of percent since the 1970s. Yes, free stuff sounds good to a beleaguered population and their families. Or not. The students I heard discussing free college and then student loan forgiveness were surprisingly not in favor of either. As for tuition-free college, one student put it this way, "Just remember high school. It was so bad we had to come to college to learn what we should have been learning there, and high school was free." Another student spoke up, "Yeah, I took writing for 12 years and they passed me. Then I get to college and all of a sudden I'm remedial." Another student put it simply, "Free college? You get what you pay for." The poet of the group said, "Hey, lots of great stuff is free, like love." Everyone laughed. I'm not sure if they laughed because of the analogy or the idea that love is free. Anyway, love got people thinking about student loan forgiveness. Another loser idea, according to this group. I nearly got caught listening when one of them seemed to notice that my writing stopped when they stopped talking. I pretended to have difficulty opening a package of Rice Krispie treats for cover. Poor old man, they may have thought, and got back to the conversation. One interlocutor got right to the heart of the matter as she asked, "Why would the 2/3 of people who do not go to college have to pay loans for the 1/3 who do?" Another student tried to explain that loan forgiveness would be tied to income, as in Senator Warren's plan. A student who had been thoughtfully quiet up to this point said, "So the person who graduates with loans but succeeds and is well paid will be punished with loan repayments, but the person who majors in something irrelevant gets a free pass? How is that fair?" An uncomfortable moment of silence ensued until a free thinker piped up, "All loans should be forgiven, or none of them should." My phone alarm went off, indicating there was work to do someplace, so I had to leave before they solved the problem. But a couple of things stand out. One, these young people are not duped by offers of free stuff. Somehow, along the way, despite their intellectually segregated teachers and a horribly biased news media, they managed to learn that nothing is free. And they also learned that punishing success is probably not a good way to encourage the behaviors that lead to it. So have faith, dear friend. At least 5 students have their heads on straight when it comes to the insane recommendations that college be made free for all, which is code for paid for by somebody else. These students, bless their hearts, have become educated, either because of their good teachers or in spite of them. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:48 and 70 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this cloudy Friday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
Good afternoon. Here with a look at your WNKY Sports Report, I'm Joe Lewis. Morehead State Baseball is in Tennessee today for its last road series of the year. The Eagles are taking on OVC foe Tennessee Tech in a doubleheader today, and again in the series finale tomorrow. Head coach Mike McGuire says he feels his team is trending in the right direction with the postseason just around the corner.
You know, I like our chances. Getting a good seed is important. But more important to me is how we're playing down the stretch going into that tournament. Are we playing our best baseball? And I feel like coming off last weekend, if we can pick up where we left off, then that's something you can say about our club.
Winners of 4 straight, MSU comes into today's doubleheader just a game behind Austin Peay and Jacksonville State for the top spot in the OVC standings. The Eagles' weekend series against Tennessee Tech can be streamed live on ESPN+. The Morehead State women's basketball team has added a pair of junior college All-American guards to its 2019-2020 recruiting class. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Lissa Nieves from South Georgia Tech and Lakita Chappelle from Highland Community College in Illinois will join the Eagles this fall. Nieves is a 5'6" Tampa, Florida native who led her team to 59 wins as a starter in her two seasons and set multiple records at SGTC. Chappelle is a 5'10" St. Louis, Missouri native who became an Eagle after spending the 2017-18 season at Three Rivers Community College in Missouri before playing her 2018-19 year at HCC. Nieves and Chappelle join a Morehead State program that has won the second most games in the Ohio Valley Conference since 2016 and qualified for the women's NIT twice, which includes an opening round win over Ohio State in the 2019 WNIT. The pair of guards join incoming freshmen Tamaya Alford and Ariel Kirkwood in the Eagles' 2019-20 recruiting class. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Rowan County baseball team is celebrating its senior players this afternoon. Festivities just began to recognize Corey Binion, Matthew Gagliano, A.J. Hacker, Andrew Hankinson, Gabe Markwell, Ryan Mullen, and Shane Taylor, who are set to graduate from the high school next week. The team Twitter page posted short interviews with the senior players throughout the day. They all agreed on their favorite memory from their high school seasons.
Probably the only one region.
Yes, sir.
Probably the best region.
That's a Viking winning region.
Definitely winning region.
Winning region my sophomore year and the three Myrtle Beach trips I've been on with the guys.
All the trips to Myrtle Beach.
First pitch tonight with Morgan County is set for 5:30 p.m. The Vikings welcome Prestonsburg and Russell tomorrow for the Viking Invitational. The round robin is set to begin at 11 a.m. In 16th Region baseball action tonight, Boyd County faces Connor at the Fayette County Invitational Tournament. Bath County takes on Ashland Blazer and Fairview in a home doubleheader. West Carter hosts Powell County. Raceland plays Mason County at home. Menifee County heads to Rose Hill Christian for a doubleheader. And Greenup County hosts South Point, Ohio. In regional softball action, Boyd County hosts Lawrence County. Elliott County heads to Menifee County. Greenup County plays Fleming County at home. And Mason County goes on the road to face West Carter. The Rowan County softball team hits the road tomorrow afternoon. The Vikings will face off with Sheldon Clark and Lawrence County in Louisa. Rowan head coach Larry Sloan says it's important for his team to face off with the 15th region's top teams, since that's who they will see after the regional tournament.
It's a tri-match. It's just round robin with three teams.
Both games will take place at Lawrence County High School. First game is set to begin at 2 p.m. The Reds stay in the Bay Area tonight when they open a three-game series against the San Francisco Giants. Cincinnati shut out Oakland 3-0 yesterday off a strong pitching performance from Tanner Roark and a big day at the plate from Eugenio Suarez, who went 3-for-4 with a double and a home run. But Reds manager David Bell says Suarez's play at third base has been just as important as his offensive production.
He continues to get better and better at that position. He has great hands. He has the arm. He kind of plays the position a little bit like a shortstop, which, you know, he was originally a shortstop. And so he has the range, and he works hard at it. I think he just continues to get better.
The Reds send right-handed ace Luis Castillo to the mound tonight. He's 3-1 on the air with a 1.97 ERA. The Giants counter with right-hander Derek Rodriguez. First pitch from Oracle Park in San Francisco is at 10:05 p.m. tonight. And finally, Tyler Harrow, Keldon Johnson, and P.J. Washington are three of the 66 players set to attend the 2019 NBA Draft Combine next week in Chicago. According to WKYT, Kentucky's three players are tied for the most of any school. A select number of draft-eligible players will also be invited to participate in the NBA Draft Combine based on their performance in the NBA G League Elite Camp, which will take place May 12th through 14th at Quest Multisport. UK doesn't have any current players on the elite camp list, but former UK men's basketball player Michael Mulder, who has played with the Windy City Bulls the last two seasons in the G League, was invited. ESPN2 will televise parts of the NBA Draft Combine on May 16th and May 17th from 3 to 7 p.m. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena. Open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks staged a massive reversal today after President Trump said conversations with China over trade will continue and his relationship with President Xi Jinping remains strong. And the Dow Industrials did manage a gain of 114.01 at 25,942.37. The S&P 500 was up 10.68 at 2881.40. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.35 at 7916.94. Stocks hit session highs after Trump's late Friday tweet and closed near those levels. The president also noted that the trade talks with China were candid and constructive. Stocks were much weaker earlier today, as at one point the blue chip average was down 358 points on concerns about the ongoing tariff struggle. Companies that are hinging on a trade resolution remained under some pressure. Friday's drop in Apple stock brought its weekly loss down to nearly 7%. Chipmakers took a big hit on fears of an escalated trade war, as the VanEck-Vectors Semiconductor ETF posted its worst week of the year and longest losing streak since October 2018. Ride-hailing giant Uber began trading on the New York Stock Exchange at $42 a share, this after pricing at $45 a share, and the stock did finish the day 7.6% lower. Despite today's market gains, the S&P 500 still suffered its worst week of the year, losing nearly 2.2%. Bookings Holdings rose over 5% after reporting stronger than expected earnings, and Symantec plummeted over 12% after forecasting weaker than expected earnings for the current quarter. In Europe, stocks had actually a fair day, not as strong as in the U.S., with the Stoxx 600 index up 0.33%. In Asia, stocks had a good day, with the Shanghai Composite up 3% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.78%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and Procter & Gamble, while the worst performers were Apple and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Booking Holdings and News Corporation, and the worst performers were Symantec and Wynn Resorts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General down $1.13 at $121.83, Marathon Petroleum up 21 cents at $53.17, CSX up 52 cents at $78.69, Anthem up $2.21 at $268.26, PPL Energy up 78 cents at $31.04, and Valvoline was down 3 cents to finish at $18.12. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, tonight a 20% chance of showers in the early morning hours, cloudy with lows around 53 degrees. On Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, mainly afternoon, cloudy with highs near 66. On Saturday night, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible, cloudy with lows around 54. And on Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with a high near 67 degrees.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Tandy Wallingford, Keneally Roberts, Chaz Jenkins, Cassidy Stearman, Haley Stidham, Naya Andweza, Grant Johnson, Cody Robinson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.